That sound is the kettle boiling. I've just returned from my backyard, walking the tidal deposits. Castro and I were doing our morning inspection. I love it when the material world and the natural world combine. And today, what I would consider a driftwood boomerang washed up. A driftwood boomerang was among the, I went out, grabbing some firewood as I do in the mornings, trying to stock up. Loving it, thinking of Macbeth, how the forest would come to you. And I was thinking about a coded one. I'm thinking about Harold. One of the things, Harold, the stage actor / bass player in a popular Australian band / national radio host, somewhat like a Gian Gomeshi, you could say. Gomeshi was in the band, what was that, whatever that crappy band was. They had one, Moxie Fruvis, something like that. Anyway, I was thinking of the stage actor when he's trying to give a clue as to his whereabouts. He says that he's found a place to reside and hide where the forest comes to me, where a la Macbeth, the forest comes to me. And that just continues the theme of the burning wood, which is McLuhan's theme, which was based on Joyce, which was based on Shakespeare's version of Macbeth, the burning wood, the day that I will get. Now, the prophecy in Macbeth is the day something the forest will learn up to, will rise or whatever, and it will come to you. But this boomerang, the driftwood boomerang, I think I'm going to keep out of it because I've got another potential place for it. Yeah. Driftwood boomerang is going to be used in a work of drama that I'm currently mentally engaged in called Sea Glass. And I was thinking that this character at the start, the male character, could be speaking to himself in an Australian accent. But then, when he meets the girl, he's speaking in a perfectly Canadian / American accent. And the audience knows this. The audience knows this because they see him collecting sea glass, talking to himself at the start. But nobody else knows this. And in the radio, in the little transistor radio, the clue to his disappearance, he'll say something about in Australia, and there'll be some story on this radio about the, Australia is relieved as the, as a very dangerous man has been captured or something. Yeah, something like that. That's the, anyway, DIY. DIY is the theme to the day. Oh, yeah. There's a poinsettia hanging around me. Poinsettia hanging around the Isle of Saren. Poinsettia hanging about the Isle of Saren. Doesn't want to leave. Doesn't want to leave. There's been someone has discarded one of their Christmas poinsettias, whatever. And I don't even know how to say that word. And I've noticed it for a while. I think it was actually maybe Gail, because she had them. People tend to just throw stuff in the pond / creek. But anyway, it's been around for a while, and it's always hanging around the Isle of Saren, which becomes completely submerged at night. But it's sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. But I've often seen this little, and it's still red. It's still maintaining its red. Poinsettia hanging about the Isle of Saren. Isle of Saren. DIY, solitary confinement in the digital age. Well, again, I was hoping. Yesterday I wanted to go sea glass, and I was sea glass shopping, as you'll call it, down at Israel Cove. I was thwarted by the tide, just started coming in like mad, and I could barely make it off the rocks. It was very thrilling, exciting. I loved it. It was reminding me of walking like a tree planter again over that really difficult terrain. And that's one of the things I love about this walk, is that it's, I know I may be slacking off on the jogging a little bit, But when I do this very special walk to Israel Cove, this is a walk of, I've had many wonderful walks, but this is maybe the most majestic flan that I've ever, like the daily flan. And it's solitary now. Lady Castro no longer comes with me. She hangs out in the house, don't you little bumskies, eh? It's just the way it goes. So solitary confinement in the digital age, do it yourself. I keep thinking today and more things. I'm very excited to be doing this podcast again. More things that popped in my mind today was that, like, the highballer. I was out in my yard again. I've got to bring what I learned as a highballer into my life even more. Like, a lot more, even more. Anyway, I've got to bring it into a lot more because those are all, like, as much as I like to talk about how the things I learned as when I became a highballer, the things I learned, I like to talk about how they revolutionized things. I think I just got to put them in place here because I got some mammoth tasks ahead of me. But I also see some huge potential. I see some huge potential here in this place. I did do step one. If you were listening yesterday, you will recall that my goal was to at least like start trying to put together the cement mixer. I knew it was going to be excruciating. And it wasn't too bad, but it was laborious. It took me over an hour to complete step one, to get everything, to find all the pieces, first of all. There's like so many pieces. Anyway, so now I was thinking about doing step two. I was thinking about doing step two today. I'm going to do it today. Like last night I was thinking about doing it, but I just looked at it. I don't even remember what it is now, but it was just like so involved and all these arrows. More pieces to find. So I'm going to do step two today and only just be satisfied with that. Because my goal, as you'll recall yesterday, let's refresh the weekly goal. That's a good idea. Refresh the weekly goal every show. Hold it lightly in mind. The weekly goal, the Monday goal, is to perform the pouring of concrete starting Tuesday, April 13th or Wednesday, April 14th. That's underneath my barn. So if I keep doing one step a day, there's only 9 of them. I think one of them is basically pretty straightforward, though. The ninth one looked like basically pick it up and wheel it out and start pouring cement. So I'm going to eat. I got to remind myself to eat in this podcast. I would like to go and collect sea glass today. I'm yearning for a little hour or two of peace of solace at Israel Cove today, but I'm not sure about the tides. I think, I don't know, I gotta check. It's hard to tell. I think it might be called slack tide when nothing's happening. I think that might be the term I've heard. Alger used the term slack tide a few times. It might mean either totally high and or totally low, maybe. Let's see here. First of all, let's go slack tide. Let's teach ourselves a word. Slack tide. Stand a short period in a body of tidal water, either side of high water or low water, essentially when the water is completely unstressed and therefore no rise or fall of the tide and no movement either way in the tidal stream. It kind of feels like slack tide right now. But I want to see what time the tide is here. I'll just go. At low tide, 3 a.m. Okay, high tide was 6 a.m. Oh, cool. Low tide is 12:49. Is today? No, that was Tuesday. That was from Monday. Hold on. Tuesday. What's this? April 6th? Yeah. I love this podcast. I love doing it. I love the concentration it brings. Just this. I love it. It's perfect. April 6th. What's this one mean? Low tide. Yeah, come on. How do you read this? Tide forecast. I believe it's one. I don't know. Today is, okay, low tide. I know it's not the same every day. So 1:14 a.m. April 6th. Low tide is 1:57 p.m. That is about perfect. So today's going to be a sea glass day. Today's going to be a sea glass picking day. The weather's pretty fine. It's lovely outside. I did a bit of writing this morning. Thank goodness. That makes a huge difference. It was slow coming. It's obviously going to be slow. You can't just pick up and start twinkling the fingers again right after the break. But I have some. So basically, what's good? What's very happy to me? I like this whole idea. It doesn't have to be Australia though. I guess it doesn't. Well, it does because the boomerang. Yeah. So I have a prop. Now I have a piece of wood, a natural piece of wood that's carved by God to look like a boomerang, and that's going to be a prop in sea glass. That's going to be a prop. It's not just a sea glass. Sometimes you go looking for sea glass and you find a boomerang, and the boomerang calls you home. Boom! This play's going to have an audience in Australia and Canada. Mandy Blair, international playwright. But humble beginnings first. The first will be just the joy of putting it on. Just the joy of putting together a little drama. Something I've always wanted to do. Something I get to do with Mandy. Such a beautiful little way to first involve our lives with one another. Hey, baby. Wow, last night was nice, much warmer. Didn't need. Got a little cool, but I didn't need any kind of. Although I did turn on my electric heater. But I turned it off in the morning. I turned it off, but I did sleep in. That's okay. Always be gentle. He's gentle. Always gentle with yourself on the path. DIY. He depends on himself for his happiness. DIY. He's gentle with himself. As I spoke of yesterday, the considerations of Christ must continue. I went for a long walk yesterday, and the weather was crazy. It was windy, but the wind was warm and soft, and it was little here and there, little bits of even warm mist in the air. I went for a walk. There's all these ATV trails in the backwoods where there's that lead to like ocean cliffs. Like I'm starting to realize the incredible grandeur of this place. Oh boy, so I gotta do my yoga today. I am gonna get to, the tide is gonna be right for me to walk along the rocks again to Israel Cove. That is a phenomenal walk at any time. The destination is just incredible. I'm just scared when this guy in the summer, I think the guy comes back, that I cut through this old abandoned, there's this big long driveway of an old abandoned yellow house that kind of sits above the sea, and I cut up this driveway to the house, which its yard is totally secluded. It's one of these rare houses on this island where you feel like you're completely secluded. Like, you just, it's just the most majestic feeling in this property. It's where I want to be. Anyway. So I go up there, and then you cut through this little trail, an ATV trail through alders, like through, but they're high alders, and there's some black spruce, some kind of black spruce. There's a couple pretty tall ones, pretty big ones, like nothing compared to BC, but decent size. You cut through that, and then there's a part where you can't be seen, and then there's this little hockey rink. It's like this little, like, slough, but it was dug on purpose so it could be a hockey rink in the winter. It's gorgeous. You can see, like, the nets in the water. Then you keep going down this trail, and then you reach the very far edge of an orchard, which I believe the orchard is owned by the people in the house, like, that are at the far end. There's a big farmhouse thing, but anyway. And then you cut down, so then I stick an immediate left. I never go into the orchard. I don't want to, like, I try to kind of stay on the very far fringe of their property, even though it's far away from their house, and I don't even know if they'd mind. I don't know what they think of me, so then I try to go down. Then I cut down to the, then I cut down to the 75 an hour comedy project narrator. Oh boy, Liberace male. Nope, that's not my voice. Okay. Anyway, let's see. So, in short, is what I'm trying to say in this DIY episode, which has been rambling, and it will ramble, and I need to ramble, and I need at least a half an hour of rambling just for myself. You know, you try to tinker with what you got and you try to figure out what went wrong. And one of the things that went wrong with me was just trying to cut the podcast down to 15 minutes. Yeah. So I'm going to go back to the, I feel like I need a half an hour of, this is a form of daily self-renewal. It's a form of fourth cinema, a form of personal transformation, first and foremost. You got to tinker. You got to tinker. Yep. That's what I always say. Always. I always. Anyway. Coffee's tasting good. I'm drinking Tim Hortons Instant, which was a gift for my birthday the other day from a neighbor down the road. Very nice of her. I gotta get back into McLuhan more. I really do have to consider the Christ essence further, and I really have to seriously ask Jesus to come into my life. You know, it's funny. There's this sort of like Western New Age, hate to call it an infection, but maybe it is, infected way of thinking that where all the other traditions of the world, the Taoists, the Buddhists, the Sikhs, everyone, you can accept all of them, but you just can't accept Jesus. And I feel like I've been under that for a little bit. Like, and to me, it's like, yes, there are many things to be fed up with that have come out of Christianity, but with probably like everything else, but living in a Christian, what was once a Christian society, you can see why people are so glad to have it gone. But that doesn't discount, you know, even all of the other traditions. Every single one of the other traditions will insist on humility before, as a first step. Humility and purity are the two first steps to any spiritual practice. And the purity is up to me. The humility must mean that I allow some of my salvation to be up to others and to be humble enough to approach their spiritual experience, their connection with God on the terms that they have discovered it. And the terms that many Christians have discovered it is Christ. And I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart. They say that's the first step, so we'll see. I'm willing to accept the advice of Christians on how to, positively speaking, how to connect with God and through the salvational energy. I need to, more than anyone on the earth, probably. I will try that, but I will not accept anything related to anything a believer in Christ tells me on how not to listen to other religions because of the reasons why not to listen to other religions. That I'm not willing to accept. I'm not willing to accept that. Squabbling over semantics. I will not accept the Christian semantical fundraiser, which is basically what it is. It's a fundraiser to keep their organization alive. It's the built-in. Anyway, never mind. I just spilled coffee all over myself, so that might be a sign I should change the subject. Well, 21:34. Should I call my mother just to try a bit of different entertainment? Let's see if I can sneak it in here. Let's see. How do I do this? Gmail. Oh, this one. Boom. This one. Come on, I'm going to start on my real estate article today. Collect sea glass. Do step. I'm just recapping the show. I'm going to complete step two, inshallah. Inshallah to all of this, by the way. Complete step two of the cement mixer. Man, I'm getting so inspired with this cement mixer. Truly, the cement mixer feels like an intelligent purchase to me because I've got nothing but rocks. I need a cement mixer and a decent wheelbarrow. And I can build, like, if I do want to do an additional little, which I do want to do an additional little section to this place, I can build it out of stone. I can have a little stone extension. Or primarily stone. And that would be so cool. The only stone house. That's all I have. It's the most abundant. It would be the cheapest way. The cheapest and actually the easiest way to do this, which is odd. Anyway. Step two of making the cement mixer. Before I build my stone extension, I got to figure out how to assemble my cement mixer. Okay, so let's figure that out first. All right. Sea glass, a little bit of writing, a little bit of real estate. I got to check McLuhan again. Let me just do a hukam nama. Let me just do embed a McLuhan hukam nama into this just so I keep McLuhan in because that's part of a structure to make me do it, to embed it into the show. And even that'll be a little bit of McLuhan, because I need McLuhan. A letter of McLuhan wrote on December 9th, 1963, to Maurice Stein. Now, who's Maurice Stein? Number one. Maurice Stein was associate professor, later chairman of the Department of Sociology at Brandeis University in Waltham, Massachusetts. Okay. So this was the year, 1963, just so you know, this was the year before... This was the year before, the year before Understanding Media was published again. That Friday at Brandeis, it was a grand time, and I enjoyed your very lively students, as I enjoy getting acquainted with you. I'm assuming that this is the beginning of our association, and that we shall manage a good deal more dialogue before too long. And then it says, there's a little footnote. It says, on December 19th, Stein replied, "That was the colloquium. That was. We really are going to be hard put to save any later colloquia that we may have from being strictly anticlimactic after your performance. The students are still talking about it, and so are the faculty." Huh, see? McLuhan was a performing long. He was performing. Okay. Anyway. It was good to be with Jack Seeley. This is back to McLuhan now. It was good to be back to be with Jack Seeley, though I have not really had much acquaintance with him in the past.
This has been a mistake, but also a natural result of academic proximity. When we are on campus, we are walled off from many people, far more than we are off campus. Maybe somebody has done a study on this. There seems to be a law here, not unrelated to our not visiting famous buildings and institutions that are quite nearby our daily work.
Yeah, a law. That's right. Not visiting. Yep.
A visitor to Oxford or Cambridge, for example, does all the colleges. Those who live and study there seldom get to see more than four or five. We live here in Toronto, quite close to Casa Loma, the only landmark in the city. One of our girls is a guide there in the summertime. I have never been inside the place.
That's an awesome little footnote.
McLuhan had never been inside the place by 1963 anyway. Had a delightful visit with Jerome Bruner, Shea Morton Bloomfield. I hope that I get to do some work with him before long. Enclosed is a travel voucher and a list of incidental expenses. Many thanks again for most delight. And McLuhan sends him the bill. Anyway.
Good, awesome. Good, awesome.
Good, awesome. Okay. Let's see if I can get the mom on the phone just to get somebody else's voice. Uh-oh. I can't make a phone call this way anymore. Okay. Huh. Crazy. 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 Okay, that sucks. Okay. I have to call it from my phone, which I have no signal on. I gotta figure it another way. Okay, let's call Mama. Let's call Mama. That's from this one. I hope. Okay, let's call Mama. You don't even like touching this phone. It's disgusting. Just a second. Let's go Carol. Okay, where's Carol? Let's go this one. I want to delete this call. I want to delete this. Edit. Edit. How do I delete it? Delete contact. Thank you. Let's just call it. That's really too bad. Really too bad.
Hello?
Hello, my lady. Are you sleeping, are you?
No, I just got up. I'm not sleeping now.
Okay, okay.
You're not phoning on your phone, are you?
Yeah, I've got bad. It looks like, remember how I told you there was going to, that system was going to be deactivated, that phoning from the computer? I'm looking at it now because I went to call you from the computer this morning and it said the system is no longer available. So I'm thinking the day has arrived where they've deactivated it for some reason.
So when you say they, like what do you mean?
Well, it's Google, like Gmail. Like you used to be able to make a, like I was calling you through, there used to be a function in Gmail.
Yeah.
When you went into Gmail that you could make a phone call. But now it doesn't seem like.
I've had a couple of, you know, things like delivery not made or something, because it seems like they're saying that I tried to phone you, or not phone you, but sent you to your old Alex Chernolesky thing, you know? But I use the Alex Dennis thing, and so I just kind of deleted those things.
Okay, well, I'll call you later. I'll call you in a bit. I'll let you wake up and have your breakfast on.
Okay. I can hear another voice in here. Can you?
No, it's probably just this crappy iPhone that I'm trying to talk through. I'm trying to find if there's another way I can.
Okay, does it make a difference if I phone you or not?
Well, let's just figure out. Let me research what's going on here for a bit and then figure out.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I'll call you in a bit. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, well, that was pretty anticlimactic. Oh, and now look at that. We didn't even get out of the show. So there you go. They've disabled phone calls in Google Hangouts, which sucks. How else can I make a phone call? Obviously, Facebook you can. I'm just going to make her an account.
Let's go to Facebook. I'm gonna make her an account.